Welcome and thank you for connecting with Open Door Church. Today we're going to learn how to deal with difficult people. If we are to be true followers of Christ, we must learn to love even the most difficult of people. Living a life of unconditional love is not only just difficult, it's impossible on our own. But thank God that He has provided not only a path to walk, but the power to walk it. It is not our own might, willpower, or strength that we are able to love others, but by God's Spirit living within us. Now, with today's message, here's Nathan Bivens.
We experience difficult people every day in our life. It's that roommate who just seems to always be eating your food out of the refrigerator and then leaving the dishes in the sink and never cleaning up after themselves. It can be that coworker who is willing to do anything to get ahead, even taking maybe credit for some of your own ideas or downplaying some of your own achievements. Possibly it's the in-laws who are there to make suggestions on your parenting skills and critiquing what you're doing in terms of raising your own child. Or maybe it's that person in ministry who questions your leadership and has no problem critiquing how things are being done. Or it could just be that passive-aggressive friend who's that friend the one day, but then the next day gives you the cold shoulder. Difficult people abound. And these are people that can steal our joy and leave us frustrated, can't they? And I want to just put a little disclaimer on this introduction here. And that is, these were general descriptions, and it was referring to no one in this room. But to be honest, we all know of a time when we've been that difficult person, correct? Absolutely, amen. You may have been walking in this morning through the parking lot and hadn't even made it in the front door yet, and somebody may have said something that offended you. It happens. But I begin the message today mentioning difficult people because I don't want us to misunderstand what God has to say to us today in the verses we're going to be looking at out of Matthew chapter 5. Because when we look at these verses, I want us to keep in mind God is not talking about difficult people. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Verse 38, and the title of our message today is Loving Your Enemies. And if you'll read with me, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him 2. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. If you'll pray with me. Lord Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit would be here with us this morning as we look at your words out of Matthew chapter 5, as you were instructing your followers. We have this recorded, which we refer to as Sermon on the Mount. Lord, I just ask that you help us to understand these difficult teachings that you have, that we as your disciples, Lord, would seek to follow your command and follow your example, Lord, in our lives, and that through doing so, we could glorify you. Lord, I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So in case you didn't catch it, verse 44, I just want to highlight again, Jesus is calling us to love your enemies who hate you and persecute you. Our enemies are not those who simply make our life difficult. That's the point I want to make at the very beginning. Those that give minor offense, I mentioned you may have been offended by someone this morning, even coming into the church doors. And as disciples of Christ in John chapter 13, we are told that we are to love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. That's the mark of our being disciples of Christ, that we as the church, as the body of Christ, are to love one another. Does that mean we always get along? Absolutely not. We have our struggles. We have our times when we are difficult with each other, but we're still yet to strive to work that out and to love one another. But in Matthew chapter 5, I think Jesus is speaking about something very different here. In verse 44, he's saying, love your what? Your enemies. Jesus is commanding us to love those who are truly against us. Those who seek to take from us what might not be ours. Or I'm sorry, theirs. Those who go out of their way to attack us. Those who work to maybe assassinate our character within the community. Those who seek to cause us physical harm, and those who cause us deep pain through abuse and other means. When we look at it in those terms, it changes it, doesn't it? It's easy to forgive someone who gives a minor offense, but what Jesus seems to be saying here is, I expect so much more of you. I want you to love your enemies. Jesus said, love your enemies who hate you and persecute you. If you were expecting to come to church this morning and not leave feeling unconvicted and maybe you're having your toes stepped on a little bit this morning, I'm sorry, this is not that message. I was very convicted myself this week as I was putting this message together, and I think God showed me quite a bit. I hope to share that with you this morning. And I think the first thing we need to do, though, is ask and answer the question, how does the world expect us to respond to our enemies? Well, the typical response is we typically first hold a grudge, don't we? We're good at that. We're good at holding a grudge sometimes. And with that becomes the anger. And we often find ways to justify that anger, don't we? Well, you just don't know what he said, or you don't know what he did to me. Don't we find ourselves saying that? And our anger can turn to hatred, and we seek revenge, ultimately, against that person. Isn't that typically how the world would see us respond, or you know, would like to see us respond to the situation of our enemies? And we see that played out in our movies, in our literature. It's just, that's what's expected of us. But Christ has called us to be different. We're not to take it personal, even though we might think we have the right to do so. An example of that, and this is one that I think every one of us could connect with when it comes to feeling that, oh, that person is just, you know, deserving of this, and that's road rage, right? How many times have you been driving down the road, and that person cuts in front of you, and it's like, oh, I'm just going to run him right off the road. Something along those lines. Why? Because you have the right, don't you? That person offended you. I mean, how dare they cut right in front of me? Did they not see I was in that lane? I had a little bit of that road rage yesterday. My family got to witness that. There on Broadway where the road kind of jogs a little bit. And a lot of time those drivers just keep going straight right into your lane and just about ran into me. I felt my response probably wasn't the best. But why do we feel that way? Because we take it personal. We feel we have the right to respond that way. And that's really why we have road rage. Do you know they've done studies on that? And when you're driving in your car is actually an extension of you. That's how you view it. So that's why you get so upset. People are getting in your personal space. Just thought I'd let you know that. But how does God want us to respond? And that's what we're looking at here in chapter 5. So let's go back and let's take a little bit closer look at those verses, beginning with verse 38. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Now Jesus is speaking to his followers who would be Israelites, who would understand the law, and they would quickly identify what we quickly identify with as well. We've heard this so many times. This comes out of Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 21. And this was given to Moses and given to the nation of Israel. And the whole intent of this law was to limit revenge. It was put in place so that the punishment would essentially fit the offense. So if you accidentally killed my cow, you're going to need to repay in this amount instead of going and killing the person who actually killed your cow. It was to limit that sort of retaliation. But Jesus teaches his disciples something radically different in the very next verse. Verse 39, but I tell you not to resist an evil person. Jesus begins this section with referring back to Deuteronomy, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. It has been said that justice demands that like requirement, but he's not saying that you don't have the right to get that justice, but he says, I tell you. And this is where our ears should be perking up. Whenever Jesus is speaking in Scripture and he says, I tell you, this is where we need to be listening up and say, I tell you what? Do not resist an evil person. The problem is that the law given to Moses to restrain man had been perverted to make an excuse to take revenge in his time. And he's saying, don't take an occasion to seek revenge or attempt to retaliate. Jesus is saying, forget about your right. Jesus is saying one thing. He's saying, give. Let's take a look at verse 39 again. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. When we read these verses, they can be sometimes difficult to understand. And sometimes many look at these and take a wrong interpretation. I think so many times non-Christians will point out this verse in this section here in verse 39, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. And I've had people come up to me and say, oh, so what you're telling me is if I come over here and just haul off and hit you right in the mouth, you're just gonna get up and let me hit you again? Just give me the other cheek? Well, that would be silly, wouldn't it? God is not condoning that you and I are to be a punching bag for anybody who wants to walk up and do so. But what he is saying is when someone comes and insults us, we're just to let it go. Even though we feel and we can take that personally, we're to let it go. A slap on the right cheek in Jesus' day and culture was very insulting. It's been insulting throughout the ages. If you wanted to start a duel with somebody, all you had to do is take your gloves, right? take them off and walk up to somebody and slap them in the face. And it's duel on, right? We see it in the movies all the time. So it's an insult, but it's a deep insult. And what Jesus is saying is, when someone comes up to you and insults you, don't seek to take revenge in that moment. What does he want us to do? He wants us to give kindness in return. And then in verse 40, if he says, if anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. When we have those disagreements, when we struggle in our relationships, and we find ourselves in that position, no, I'm right, no, you're right, no, I'm right. What does God want us to do? He wants us to defer in those situations. It says, if anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. The tunic being our outer cloak, and then he's saying, just take the shirt off my back. Just give him the shirt off your back while you're at it. And then verse 41, and whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. It was very common at this time and during the Roman rule that a Roman soldier could require you to carry his belongings for him for a mile or some distance. And Christ is saying, if you're required to do that, carry it the mile, but go an extra mile as well. And then 42, give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. Jesus is saying one thing, give. I want your life to represent giving to those around you. If someone slaps you with a backhanded strike to insult you, give kindness in return. If someone seeks to take material advantage of you, give him more than he asks. If someone demands work of you, give him twice what he is asking. And you may be saying, don't I have the right to feel bitter and resentful towards that person? Maybe so. Maybe you do. Maybe you'd be justified in that feeling. But Jesus says, forget about your right. Jesus himself has set aside his right to his heavenly glory by becoming a man who would suffer and die for the sins of mankind. Jesus is saying, forgo your revenge. Don't repay with hatred, but instead demonstrate God's love to the world. So why should I set aside my rights? That seems so foreign to us, doesn't it? It's just not in our nature, is it? In this sinful nature that we have. We demand, are we not a nation of, I demand my right to whatever it is that we think we deserve, so why should we set aside that right to seek some justice? Because in this attitude, we find the whole essence of forgiveness. That's what forgiveness is all about. To set aside your right is to forgive the other person. That's hard. I'm right there with you. I've been there in those situations. I remember talking to a family member. He ran an auto parts store, and he hired some friends to help run the store, and everything was going really smoothly, but they were having some difficulties. Inventory wasn't matching up quite right after a while, and the revenue looked a little off. Well, come to find out, his friend had been selling parts out the back door to all of his friends. This is someone he trusted, someone who was willing to set aside the friendship they had for his own gain, take the, you know, money from his own family. And so once the police got involved and everything was said and done, you know, he left the store. I really don't know what happened after that. I caught the first part of that story, but let me elaborate just a little bit, and let me ask us this question. So what if now he is sitting at home one evening and he gets a phone call and his friend's calling him this friend that's stolen from him and treated him so poorly and says, "Can you forgive me?" What would you do? I mean, you could put that into any situation you want. We've all, I think, been in some of those situations you want. What does Jesus tell us to do? Of course, we need to forgive that person in that moment. Now let me also say, what if he were to ask, "Well, thank you, and could I have my job back?" The answer would be no. One thing we need to remember is forgiveness does not equal trust. And so we're going to find ourselves in situations where we need to offer forgiveness to people in our lives, but that doesn't mean we become a doormat for those all around us. Trust is something that we build over years and over time. And so God is not saying to us, "I want you to be the person that everybody comes and takes advantage of." No, but God says, "I do want you to be the person who offers forgiveness." And we forgive because we have experienced genuine forgiveness from God. Have we not? If we are disciples of Christ, and if we have experienced the redemptive work of Christ on the cross in our own lives, and we have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have received forgiveness from Him, from God. And God could stand on His own right, because before knowing Him, we insulted His divine nature. We lived a life that was so far away from His righteousness, and we had not given Him the glory that is His due, but yet He still sent His Son to die on the cross for us, forgiving us of our sins. And it's all through God's grace and mercy that we have that forgiveness. So we are called to forgive. We are called to give to those around us. But let's read Matthew again, picking up at verse 43. "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.'" Now, if you're looking at your Bible, you may notice there that "you shall love your enemy." That sounds familiar. We see that quite a bit. And those that he would be speaking to that morning would have recognized that, coming from Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. But nowhere in the Bible is it taught that we are to hate our enemies. See, the problem is there are some of those who taught the law, who taught this teaching, perverted it, said, "Yes, you shall love your neighbors, and because you are to love your neighbors, you can then also hate your enemies." So Jesus here is not condoning that we should hate our enemies. He's saying, "I understand what the religious teachers of the day have taught you," but then picking up in verse 44, "but I say to you," once again, our ears should be perking up. What is it you're wanting us to hear, Jesus? "I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." God wants us to do one thing. He wants us to bless our enemies. Okay, if you've been tracking with me, I was doing pretty well there in that first section. Okay, God, I get it. You want me to give. Okay, and I can forget. But what are you talking about? You want me to then bless my enemies as well? That's a little hard to swallow. And it is difficult. There's no way around it. It is difficult. The reason I gravitated toward this topic for this sermon today is I felt God working in my own life probably these last few months. And I've had a situation in my life where not only myself but my family has been attacked. Our character has been come into question in the community. And there's been some very hurtful things said. And as I was putting this message together, I was overcome with the very fact that I did not respond this way. And I had to ask God, and I had to say in prayer, "God, forgive my unforgiving heart." It's so hard to do. It's so hard in that moment when we are feeling attacked to actually respond in a way that, one, we forgive, and then two, we want to seek to bless that very person. We can only do it through God's strength, through His Spirit. Why should we love our enemies? Let's take a look at verse 45. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, He calls us to be one who even loves his enemies as God does. We are to be the same example for the world. We are to be that light of the world. We are to love our enemies as God loves. And Christ goes on to say, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? He's saying, you are no better than the world if all you do is show love for the people who already love you. Even the tax collectors do that. But he says, and if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Oh, that just kind of gets me when I read that. Am I truly walking as Christ would have me to walk if I do only what the world requires of me? And then verse 48, therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's not to say that we are in any level perfect as God is perfect, but what Jesus is saying is we need to, our Christian walk needs to be such that those around us see God in that. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if you and I ever experience this kind of love and blessing in our lives? Absolutely. I mean, we just talked about it. But let's take a look at Romans chapter 5. And we're going to look at verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We once were enemies of God as well. And I think it helps us to remember that when we are confronted with our own enemies and when we are asked to be a picture of Christ to them in that moment. Our response to our enemies should be that of giving and blessing. And I'm not going to pretend and tell you it will be easy. There are going to be circumstances that we might not understand. God, how do you want me to respond in this situation? It's going to be difficult to know when should I give, when should I not give. This is not a statement to say, if someone were to walk up to you and say, hey, give me your car. Well, no, that's not what God is saying. He's saying, we are going to have opportunities to give that is going to further his kingdom here on earth. And we need to be living in the Spirit so that we can discern those situations. But ultimately, we are called as Christ's disciples to be different from the world. And so how we respond to our enemies is going to show the world who we really are. And it's just as radical today as it was 2,000 years ago when Jesus was teaching his followers then. So let me ask in closing, will your life and conduct be such that people can see Christ's love through you? If you are insulted and in love, you turn the other cheek, and this helps the unsaved know Christ. God is glorified. If the giving of your coat can help the unsaved know Christ, God again is glorified. And if our walking a second mile after the first mile can help the unsaved know Christ, God is ultimately glorified. I know that as I studied these verses this week, I was extremely challenged. And I have a feeling if your thought process is anything like mine this week, you're being challenged probably as well this morning. And you know what? That's a good thing. Because God is working in our hearts. Let me close this in prayer. Lord Father, in so many ways, Lord, what a difficult message for us to focus on this morning. Loving our enemies, those who are truly our enemies, can be so difficult to do. It can be so hard to discern sometimes, Lord, what is the action, what is the step that we need to take. I'm not meaning to oversimplify this. It is hard when that person might call and say, "Will you forgive me for this thing that I've done?" But Lord, let us be certain, Lord, that in doing so, in following these teachings, Lord, that we can reflect Christ through our life into the world around us, and that we can be the light, Lord, to this world, and that through our actions, Lord, and our responses, I pray that there are those who can come to know you as Lord and Savior. Lord, that is my hope for this message this morning. Let it be taken up in our hearts, this Lord, and let us think about it this week. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
We hope that you were blessed and inspired by today's message. If you would like to hear more messages like this, we invite you to Open Door Church, 4838 Meadowlark Lane in Columbia.